Super Bowl Sunday is just around the corner as we continue our Super Bowl preview, this time with our offensive position comparisons. This is the Vol Maruski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns. Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Paul Maruski Podcast, powered by Power 88 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Chris Kostich, alongside me, CJ Medeiros. As we thank you for joining us for this Tuesday edition of the Paul Maruski Podcast amongst the wild NBA news of the Luka Doncic trade. And speaking of trades, Cooper Kupp and Myles Garrett on the trade block. And this would probably be bigger news in the sports media world if the Luka trade never happened, but like, I'm still thinking about the Luka trade, and this happened on like Saturday night at midnight. So it shows you where my head's at sometimes. But Cooper Kupp announced on social media saying he's up for trade, and it's not him requesting for a trade. He would have rather retire as a Ram, and the Rams decided, you know what, it's time to move on. They got their guy Puka. So time to move on from the 30-year-old wide receiver, whereas Myles Garrett requested a trade from the Browns. So he will end up getting shopped. Both are going to get shopped during the offseason. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, especially for both sides. Garrett and Kupp are both 30, right?
Yeah, Garrett's they are. I had to think about 30. That. I know at least Garrett is.
Yeah. Kupp, I mean, look, you're not looking, if you're going to go for Cooper Kupp for any team, you could be the Patriots. You could even be the Chiefs. You're not looking for him to give you 10 years and be your franchise guy for the next 10 years, but you could look for him to be a good wide receiver one for the next 4 years, potentially. But recently we've seen wide receivers, once they hit the age of 30, they've start to fall off. Kupp, I don't know if that's going to be the case for him. The problem is that I think you're not going to get as good of value from Cooper Kupp because of this most recent injury history he's had. Myles Garrett, he's still a force to be reckoned with. So, and it's going to be interesting to see how they play around him. And I feel like he's also kind of in the same boat. He's kind of had some injury history too, especially this year, right?
A little bit.
So be interesting to see how high picks certain teams try to go after these guys, especially for Myles Garrett. Like I said, he's still a massive force to be reckoned with, regardless of the age. I think both guys are going to give you solid four extra years on a contract. I think Garrett still has 2 years left of his deal in Cleveland as well, I think. I could be very wrong. I'm not looking at contracts right now. But regardless of what happens, I think that these two guys will still make a difference for at least 2 years, depending on what team they go to. CJ, what are your thoughts?
First and foremost, you addressed the Luka trade. I just want to say to Jerry Jones, congratulations. You are no longer the most hated man in Dallas. So I had to get that jab in there.
Yeah.
Podcast, but
I think
Jerry Jones is breathing a sigh of relief right now.
I think everyone's thinking that, that's for sure.
So the thing, I'll address Cooper Kupp first because the Garrett situation is a little more multifaceted. So for Cooper Kupp, I know he's 30, and look, the injury history is there. Let's be honest. Ever since he got that, yeah, he got a triple crown, right? And then he just decided to live in the hospital ward of SoFi Stadium. So the beauty of Cooper Kupp is that he's not bad, not by any stretch of the imagination. He's still in many facets a wide receiver one. But what I like about him is that he can fill different roles. For example, God forbid the Chiefs, because you mentioned them. The Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens, he can go to a contender and be like the final piece, right? Not the Chiefs need a final piece, but you know, like he can go somewhere and he can be that piece, right? That one thing that might push you over the edge. Meanwhile, if you're a not so great team, for example, I think of the, but if you have a young quarterback, so like the New England Patriots, who've got a very raw but promising youngin in Drake May, or perhaps you're like a like the Tennessee Titans, who probably might go QB, Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, or or someone like that, or heck, maybe the Falcons, who want to nurture Penix a bit more. You can get him, and he can be like a good mentor wide receiver for your own quarterback. The situations are different, but think of it kind of like 2019 Larry Fitzgerald with Kyler Murray, right? I mean, Fitzgerald obviously is a career Cardinal, but sure, he wasn't a top 10 receiver in the league anymore, but he was a great guy to help Kyler's development. The only issue is Kyler Murray loved Call of Duty just a bit too much. So, yeah, the thing is, I think Cooper Kupp has a home pretty much anywhere.
Yeah.
Miles Garrett, that's not the case. He has one playoff win his entire career in Cleveland. And the thing is, you can tell this isn't an easy decision for him. He loves the Browns. He loves the organization. He loves the fans. He loves the community. But at the end of the day, he's an athlete. And most athletes, at least ones that I've interacted with, like winning. And Chris, you're a former quarterback. I imagine you prefer winning, correct?
I do prefer winning. Winning's great.
Yes. And that's the thing. Miles Garrett, you know, he could stay in Ohio and literally just go from he might just go south. Could just go from Cleveland to Canton, right? Because I believe he's going to end up in the Hall of Fame. He's like on the fast track to it.
100%.
But it's just the postseason success hasn't been there. They had that fun little run with Baker Mayfield, but, you know. And then it's just, it didn't have to be this way. The Browns forced him out, but more on that in a sec. So the thing is with Garrett, he's going to a contender. So think Detroit, think Kansas City, think Philly, think Buffalo, think Baltimore. And I've also heard a few people throw around the Commanders. Now, I guess what can you get for him is the main question. Because for Cooper Kupp, not only is he 30 with an injury history, he's a bit pricey. So when you take that into consideration, if you're the Rams, I'm sorry if there are any Rams fans listening, but you don't really have leverage. Then again, this seems to be more of an easygoing, like less contentious situation that's going on in Cleveland. So, you know, I feel like they're just more concerned with doing right by Cooper, which I get. As for old Miles in Cleveland, though. Oh, yeah. Now, the Browns immediately came out and said, we have no intent to trade him. And as soon as I said that, I went to this group chat that I'm in with all the Fumble Rooski crew. You know them all. Adam, Chris, Tuck, and even Robert, who sometimes comes on. And I said, oh boy, this is going to get ugly, isn't it? However, the masses have a different idea. The masses say, oh, well, they're just trying to get leverage. Remember, the masses say, Russell Wilson got 3 first rounders. My counter argument is, okay, cool, he's a quarterback and it's more valuable. Well, remember when Khalil Mack got 2 first rounders? Well, Khalil Mack was still in his 20s. He was like 27, 28. So let's not sit here and pretend that Garrett isn't 30. And let's also not pretend that no matter their bluster, they're not in the driver's seat here. Cleveland, you're going to take a late first rounder and you will like it. And that's if you're lucky. And also, I know they're saying, oh, they're trying to get more leverage, but ask yourself this, my fellow Americans. Is Cleveland really a team or a front office that you think can, you know, play the leverage game, you know, bluff their way into some firsts? No, I don't think they are. And they ran him out, let's be honest. Yeah. You had Baker Mayfield, and instead you shipped him off for a predator. And the thing with Baker is, yes, I know he had a down year. That's what they all say. But he was playing through a shoulder tear for you. And he would have been fine the next year. Like, he literally put his heart on the line, and you stomped on it. You know, he put everything on the line, put his body on the line, put his heart and soul there. And you just said, eh, nah, buddy, you're going to Carolina. And like I said, then you brought in a predator who literally pouted his way out of Houston for a year. And so Cleveland fans, if you're upset, don't be mad at Garrett, be mad at the organization. And to the Browns organization, I say, you deserve this. You 100% deserve this. And by the way, Chris, I don't know if you saw, it's getting worse. Joel Bitonio, your star guard, is considering retirement because he sees, stop me if you've heard this one before, kids, another rebuild on the horizon. And he's like, oh, no. I'm going to take my chances in retirement. Bye-bye. So, yeah, Cleveland, it seems like we say this every year, but the future is not very bright.
No, not bright at all. Yeah, and Myles Garrett's going to be a little bit tricky as well because – so you're going to have to pick him up for the rest of the 2 years. You're going to have to pay him $20 million a year as well. He signed a five-year rookie extension worth $125 million. So you're going to have to pay him the rest you're going to have to pay about $20 to $25 million per year on Myles Garrett if you do end up trading for him. And that's going to be a question to see who's willing to pick up that contract or not.
And even if they do, are they also willing to give up a first? I don't think these two constants can exist at once.
Yeah. Garrett, by the way, is only 29.
So it'll be like, 30 next year? And yeah, also, edge rushers tend to have a bit of a longer shelf life.
Yeah. Especially when you look at Myles Garrett, like, it doesn't look like he's going to be slowing down anytime soon either.
And if he does, which I doubt, it would, like, have to, like that, just, like, come out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't see.
He'd have to have, like, a couple season-ending injuries for it not to be worth it.
But, yeah. And with Bitonio possibly retiring and Garrett wanting out, maybe I'm just being an alarmist, but part of me wonders, do you think it could cause a ripple effect with some of the other good players? You know, like, I mean, granted, he's been hurt, but, you know, Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
Can't imagine wants to save whatever mileage he has left for a contender. Or what about Wyatt Teller or Denzel Ward? What do you think they're thinking?
Maybe. Yeah.
Or Njoku or anyone like that.
Yeah, I definitely. I think that that's going to have to depend on if these guys are going to be, because Nick Chubb isn't getting any younger, and Lord knows how much life he has left in his legs at this point. I'm not sure how old Njoku is, but he's been in the league for a little bit now to be considered a veteran. It's going to be interesting to see how some of these players try to play it out, or we're now in the case where more players are trying to keep their or spend their career at one team now. So I think all roads are very open at this rate, but it will be interesting to see if how many players decide that they want out of Cleveland at this point.
Once again, I wouldn't be shocked if this leads to some kind of domino effect.
Potentially. But we won't know till maybe next year. And it's going to be interesting to see how the Cup and Garrett sweepstakes play out after the Super Bowl ends. But we're going to take a quick break when we come back. Offensive comparisons between the Eagles and the Chiefs.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast. Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros. Time to get into our offensive position comparisons. CJ and Adam went through the defensive side of the football on Friday. Now we look at the offensive side of the football. And we go to the heart of the offense, the O-line for each side. And right off the bat, I'm going to give it to Philly on the edge here. Look, when you have guys like Mailata, Dickerson, Juergens, Becton, Lane Johnson, like, really the only piece that you really lost from last season was Jason Kelce. That's still pretty damn good, and consider one of the best O lines in the league. And that's not even to shit on guys like Joe Tooney or Creed Humphrey, Mike Caliendo. Like, Kansas City still has a pretty good O line, but I don't think it, like, obviously you can compare it to Philly's, but I still think that Philly's O line is much better than what KC has to offer. But both lines are considerably good enough to give defensive linemen a headache to try to get to the quarterback or the running back for that matter.
For me, I'm also going with Philly. And I know technically the Chiefs had like a better, higher PFF grade throughout the year. However, that's PFF and their grading system is ridiculous, as I think most fans agree. So the thing is, right, you don't have Jason Kelce anymore if you're Philly, but you still have Cam Jurgens. And I think he's a darn good replacement. The only thing that scares me is that he's hurt. I think he's got a back injury, but he's expected to be back for the Super Bowl. That's huge.
Jurgens and Dickerson were both hurt for that NFC Championship game, actually.
I've heard Dickinson's going to be back. Jurgens, we don't necessarily know yet, but I would imagine they're going to play.
Yeah.
Then Kansas City. Well, technically, they performed a little bit better throughout the year, once again, according to those losers at PFF. I am concerned for one reason. Chris, you obviously know the most important position on the offensive line is the tackle.
Your left tackle.
Left tackle, I meant. Yes, thank you. Your left tackle is Joe Tooney, who's a guard. And everyone's like, oh, he played well in the AFC Championship game. No, he didn't. No, he did not. He was the second weakest part of that O-line, you know, behind Mike Caliendo, who I don't hate. I think he's good. It's just, you know. The thing is, the strength of the Chiefs came from the interior, right? And Tooney now has to play tackle because Sue Matia is too young and raw. Pause. Yeah, that other one there. DJ Humphreys has been a shell of himself. So I don't necessarily. I mean, once again, like it's really the interior for that. For the Chiefs, so I don't necessarily believe that's going to help them in like any facet. So I got to go with Philly just because of that. Because Philly's about to get healthy, unless Joe Tooney for like one game can put up like an Anthony Munoz performance, then I'm still going with Philly.
Anthony Munoz, nice pull.
Appreciate it. Best left tackle of all time. Come on now.
Yeah, come on. Don't play with me. Tight ends. I feel like this could potentially be a toss up. If you're not convinced by Travis Kelce, I like Noah Gray a lot on the Kansas City side. Dallas Goedert, you don't need to say much about him. He's an absolute dog. I don't know how much I'm really sold on Calcaterra. I feel like he's a little weak when it comes to the run game in terms of blocking. And since we're going to talk about run game, Travis Kelce is never out there for the run game. Noah Gray and Peyton Hendershot are usually the guys that are out there for the run game. Noah Gray does it all. And obviously Kansas City sent him a 3-year contract, basically telling us he's going to be taking over for Kelce once he retires, whenever that is. It could be this year for based off of my prediction and what I've seen from Jason. I don't know. I'm going to give like the slightest of slightest edges to Kansas City because Travis Kelce still like he still shows up for the big game. And I think when you don't have Travis Kelce out there, you still have a lot of faith in Noah Gray. Whereas on the Eagles side, it's basically just Dallas Goedert, and you hope that Grant Calcaterra can hold up his end of the bargain. Like, I'm just not completely sold on Calcaterra at all. And that's basically it.
Yeah, this is a strength in numbers kind of pick, shall we say.
Yeah, because yeah.
Kelsey has a down year, and he still technically outproduced Goddard. Because Kelsey, though he's old and inexplicably still gets left wide open, which is where a bunch of his targets came, because he's not really beating double teams as much as he used to. But either way, but Goddard, you got to think about, it's like the third option, depending on the day. And even still, I would take Noah Gray over Grant Calcaterra like 10 out of 10 times. So I don't think it's a massive difference, but Noah Gray in and of himself is enough for me to take the Chiefs tight end room over Philly's.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm just biased for Noah Gray being a Leinster guy, Central Mass area guy, but like every time I watch a Chiefs game, Noah Gray is out there making at least one big play, whether it be like a 5-yard gain that gets him at least a yard or maybe a first down or something like that. Maybe he's in for a touchdown. I just like Noah Gray a lot. He's fun to bet anytime touchdown on. Wouldn't be surprised if I bet anytime touchdown on him in the Super Bowl here. man, running backs, Eagles. And that's not a shot at Kareem Hunt or Isaiah Pacheco, but like literally just Saquon and himself. And you can also get Kenneth Gainwell for some solid carries as well. Regardless who has the ball for Philly, they're running it behind probably the best O-line in the league. Saquon, 2,000-yard rusher. Kansas City, like Kareem Hunt did a solid job when Isaiah Pacheco was out. Samaj Perine is solid for big-time third downs. Pacheco, he runs like a freaking, like his life depends on it, which I love. Runs angry. Mm-hmm. But I would take Saquon, though, ball. Like, you could take Samaj Perine, Kareem Hunt, Isaiah Pacheco, all balled up into one, and I'd still take Saquon.
Yeah. So this is kind of like an inverse of when Adam and I were debating the linebackers. because when we were comparing their linebacker rooms, I said, the Eagles got one guy, it's Zach Bond. They used to have N'Kobe Dean, but N'Kobe Dean's not going to play. I said the Chiefs have nobody as good as Zach Bond, but you could take Nick Bolton, Leo Chenal, and Drew Tranquil, and I think they're better than Bond. So when I say this is the opposite, is that, like you said, you can take Pacheco, you can take Perine, or Perine, or however, whatever it's pronounced. Sorry, Samaj, if you're hearing this, my bad. So you could take all that, and you can take Kareem Hunt, and still, you can combine all their stats, you can make them into one player, and I would still rather Saquon.
Yeah.
I mean, leading rusher in the league, like it, that by in and of itself gives it to Philly.
Like, I bet you that I don't have the stats in front of me, but Saquon's yards and touchdowns probably are way more than what those three have combined. No disrespect, but.
I don't have the stats in front of me either, so I can't say definitively, but I would not be surprised.
Yeah. Wide receivers. Hand up, this is pretty fucking easy, too. It goes True. To the Eagles. I mean, I've said before that, like, you know, the Eagles, when it comes to the Eagles, all it really is A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith. And then after that, like, it's just a who's who of whoever. Like they don't, like, after Devonta Smith, there's really not much depth. Whereas for the Chiefs, like, yeah, they got Hollywood Brown back. They have Worthy, who's making plays. You know, if they had Rashee Rice not out for the season with an ACL tear, it would probably be a little different. But then you got guys like freaking Juju Smith-Schuster and then DeAndre Hopkins, who's losing snaps to Juju Smith-Schuster and is just out there running routes and just playing with his cock at this point. D-Hop is not the same D-Hop when he was 24. That's for certain. Juju Smith-Schuster is not the same receiver as he was when he was a rookie with Pittsburgh. And A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith are light years better than Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy. And it's kind of the same thing with the Saquon argument, right? Like, I would take A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith over the four guys that I just named for Kansas City balled up into one.
Exactly. And I want to say one thing. Who do you think is Kansas City's one? Because it literally depends game to game.
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah, exactly. So let's just say I've seen a lot of depth charts saying that it is the rookie Xavier Worthy. Let's just say it's him. Well, all I'm going to say is the reason, you know, you got to take Philly here is if you put Xavier Worthy on Eagles, at best, he's wide receiver three.
Yeah.
And probably option number four behind Dallas Goedert. So that's, it's really easy. Once again, you got to give me Philly. Kansas City has a bunch of twos. Philly has two ones.
Yeah. Like when you talk about the Chiefs, like obviously people talk about the Patriots dynasty. When you look at both dynasties, like the Chiefs in terms of the wide receiver core is basically like talking about what the Patriots have for receivers for their Super Bowl runs. Like
especially like the first one where they
especially the first one because they had freaking David Patton, Troy Brown.
Old Troy Brown. Don't forget that. Like
older Troy Brown. Well, he wasn't that old just yet. He didn't really start aging till after 04 or 03.
Dude, he was like 30, wasn't he?
Was he?
Something like that. Yeah, I know he was not a spring chicken. That's no respect to David Brown, Patriots legend, by the way. We love David Brown. Good Lord. I have brought dishonor.
Or David Patton. David Gibbons wasn't on. That's what I meant.
Yeah, Patton was there. Was Givens there yet or no?
No, Givens didn't get there until like 02 or 03.
Yeah, and tight end Daniel Graham. Remember him?
Daniel Graham wasn't even on the team then. It was, if we're talking 01, that was.
Was it Cunningham?
No, it was. Oh, he was a big motherfucker, too. It's blanking on me. I'm going to do a quick Google search.
But yeah, so my point is, it's like perhaps the cupboard isn't as bare as it was for those Patriots dynasties. But the point we're trying to make is that he's still doing more with less, and it's still pretty impressive.
Yeah. They have Rod Rutledge as their tight end, which definitely isn't right. It was definitely someone else that was getting all the looks. I know that much. It was Jermaine Wiggins. That's who I'm thinking of.
It was Wiggins. Yeah, I thought Jermaine, and I said Cunningham. I don't know why. But yeah, Jermaine Wiggins.
Yeah. But anyways, like, if you were to ball up a bunch of receivers that the Patriots faced in a lot of these Super Bowls, you would take the receivers that the Patriots were facing. Like, that Rams team, I would have taken Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt over Troy Brown and David Patton. I keep wanting to say Givens. But I would have taken those guys over the Patriots wide receiver room. I would have taken, I would have maybe taken Steve Smith and Moses Muhammad for the Panthers. I probably would have taken Terrell Owens on the Eagles.
Yeah, over like Deion Branch and those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, that was during the Deion Branch era too, though.
Mm-hmm. I got to take that. I mean, probably the only one, even though we're Pats fans and biased, sorry, listeners. That the only Super Bowl where I would take New England's receiver room is probably Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Patriots receiver room that year was pretty good. Brandon LaFell. Yep.
LaFell, Edelman, Amendola, like, you know.
That was a good receiver room.
It really was.
Last position comparison, quarterback.
That's pretty easy. This might be the easiest one.
Yeah. Mahomes. I mean, I think if we're like, obviously Mahomes can perform at the highest level, game in and game out. He's proven it game in and game out. But Jalen Hurts has also proven he can also perform at a high level, especially in the Super Bowl via 3 years ago, 2 years ago, pardon, when they lost to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Like, Jalen Hurts went fucking off in that game. Granted, it didn't amount to anything because it was a loss, but he still had a very good game. I think it's just going to be a matter of how the Eagles end up playing this one out in the Super Bowl, but Mahomes is inevitable. It's not like Mahomes is doing a ton. Like, both quarterbacks aren't doing a ton, right?
No.
Especially this year. They're just doing enough. They're making the right plays. They're not trying to wow. Like, with the cheat, like, both teams in terms of play calling is designed where they're not trying to go for the big shot unless the opportunity's there. They're just going for what the defense is giving them at the time and then go for the shot or go for the big play. Like, they're not trying to absolutely wow you with certain plays and whatnot.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, especially Mahomes has been more of a game manager this year, and it's really been more of the Chiefs system than Mahomes. But either way, just like on paper, you'd still rather have Mahomes.
I would argue. I saw a good take about this, and it was remember when Mel Kiper made that take that too high safety should be banned from the NFL?
Yeah, and he's still a moron.
So. The reason for that take is that you mentioned Mahomes being more of a game manager this year, right? So this obviously,
year. Yeah, not usually, yeah. But this year,
especially this year. That's more because total drives in games, like total in-game drives, have gone down significantly since 2014. I think it was, and I think it's only like about 22 is the total amount of drives that teams. For both teams combined. So you have less drives to work with now. And with that, less points are being scored. So we're seeing more games being decided by one score via the Chiefs. We've seen basically every game that they're playing in is decided by one score besides a couple. And that's because they're more or less just managing the clock, game managing, just trying to, it's ball control. They're just playing ball control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so either way, it's still KC.
It's still Mahomes. Yeah, it's still Mahomes.
Obviously.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, special little segment for us. We're going to do an all-time draft of the Eagles and the Chiefs. This is going to be a fun one. I'm excited for this. That's next on the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros. As... this last and final segment of the day, we're going to be doing an Eagles and Chiefs all-time draft. So the way that we're going to be doing this, it's going to be snake draft, and we're going to take one player in one position each turn. So if it was me, I would choose a quarterback for the Chiefs and a quarterback for the Eagles. Or for CJ, it would be a wide receiver for the Chiefs or a wide receiver for the Eagles. So that's how it would go. All right, CJ, make your call. Heads or tails?
Heads, in the words of Matthew Slater.
All right. Flip a coin. I'm asking Siri. It's heads.
Woohoo! Matthew Slater never fails.
All right, CJ, first pick.
All right, QB.
Well, you can choose any position, really, but...
I thought we were going to go in order, but whatever.
Well, we can go in order. It doesn't matter.
I would prefer that. It'd be easier for the audience, too.
All right, let's go in order then.
So for quarterback, so I pick both, right, or just one?
I thought we said we were going to do both.
Oh. Okay, yeah. So for the all-time Chiefs team, QB's got to be Mahomes. Look, I'm a big Len Dawson fan, but come on, Mahomes got more rings. He's already got more MVPs, so it's got to be Mahomes. And for Eagles, that's tough, but because Michael Vick was good, you know, Ron Jaworski, he was pretty solid, but I still think it's McNabb. And I know Nick Foles won a Super Bowl, but he really had that insanity run, then kind of fell off.
Yeah, but
McNabb, man, oh, he was special.
For the Chiefs, I'm in between Len Dawson and maybe Alex Smith and Trent Green. Len Dawson has the Super Bowl. Actually took him to 3 back in the day when the Super Bowl was first new. Trent Green was a dog in the early 2000s. Alex Smith was really good. I don't know. Well, for the Eagles, I'm actually going to go Randall Cunningham.
Okay, fair.
I'll go there. The Chiefs. I'm going to go Alex Smith. Fuck it.
I get a little more of a mind.
You know what? Fuck it. No, I'm going to go Len Dawson. I'll go Len Dawson.
All right.
All right, running backs.
All right. So, yeah, it's back to me, I guess.
Or wouldn't it be back to me, actually?
Oh, no, it is back to you. Sorry. There is no lore reason for me getting confused, and I am stupid, if you know me.
All right, running backs. For the Eagles, I feel
They got a history of good running backs, man. They really do.
I know. I feel like that you have to go Saquon, but there's also Shady. There's also Brian Westbrook. The fuck? Well, for Chiefs, I'm going to go Jamal Charles. Priest Holmes is also a great pick, too, but Jamal Charles was just such a dog back then. Like, I felt like he was rushing for at least – he rushed for, like, 200 yards in a game, like, at least once a season. So I'm going to go Jamal Charles for the Chiefs. And for the Eagles, I'll just go Saquon.
Yeah, understandable. So for Philly, I respect Brian Westbrook, but you got to give me LeSean McCoy, man. Westbrook's more of a receiving back, but you want a man who can get it done on the ground, you go with LeSean McCoy. And for the Chiefs, thing with KC is you could go with Jamal Charles, but I like Priest Holmes. To be fair, both of them were cut down by injuries like way too soon. But man, Priest Holmes was putting the fear of God into people. So I'm going Priest Holmes. That guy.
Yeah,
I really built different.
Yeah, you really can't go wrong with either, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, wide receivers.
All right, wide receivers. First of all, for Philly, give me T.O. Look, the man played the Super Bowl on a broken leg.
Come on now.
but come on, he did give New England some grief, and I'll admit that. I am a Pats fan. So, yeah, come on, we got to give him his flowers. And for the Chiefs, there's a few ways you could go. They don't have, like, the flashiest. And if you want to go with Flash, you could go with Tyreek. You could go with Dante Hall. But I'm going to make a deep poll here. What do you know about Otis Taylor?
Otis Taylor.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something. This man, he was different. I personally think he's the best receiver that has ever suited up in KC. And don't get me wrong, he's an old head, right? But, oh, my God, from 65 to 75, this man, he put the league on notice. And this was, like, really before passing became, like, a really big thing. But, yeah.
I like it. I was thinking of going Chris Carter for the Eagles. Right, but I was looking at his stats, and When you really think about Chris Carter, though, the problem with him is that he didn't really start blowing up until he went to the Vikings.
True.
So that's the other thing, I guess. Are we picking them based off of career, or are we picking them based off of their time on the team, I guess?
I don't know. Do whatever your heart tells you. I personally go with time on the team.
Yeah, because if we were going career, then I would have picked Mike Vick over Randall Cunningham then.
Yeah, but no, I feel like just time on the team.
Yeah, so I'm going to go away from Chris Carter. The most yards he had in a season was... what was it? It was like he didn't break 1,000. I think it was about like 970, it seemed. No. In terms of wide receivers for the Eagles, who else did they have? I gotta keep
looking. Dude, you're missing a big one, man. I don't want to help you, but
no, I know. I know I'm missing I could go Harold Carmichael. Who else?
No more. Yeah.
Oh, there's also Deshaun Jackson. Yeah, I'm gonna go Jackson on this one for the Eagles.
Damn. Me personally, I would have gone with Carmichael, but all right. Well, you're up for tight ends.
I haven't given mine for my wide receiver for the Chiefs yet. Who was Dante Hall, the human joystick.
Fair.
Did I get that right?
Yeah, no, that's him. It's just I've always viewed him more as like a Devin Hester type, but yeah.
Yeah, honestly.
I mean, like, where he wasn't a bad receiver, it's just, you know.
No, he wasn't. Or I could just go Tyreek. You know what? Fuck it. I just realized you didn't even pick Tyreek, so give me Tyreek.
No, I went with Otis Taylor. See, I...
Yeah, honestly, yeah. Give me Tyreek. All right, tight ends. Eagles tight ends. Well, for Chiefs tight ends, you could either go Travis Kelce or Tony Gonzalez. Yeah. Thing with Eagles tight ends, there's not a ton to pick from. Like, your best tight ends, really, that you're thinking of at this point is Zach Ertz or Dallas Goedert.
Actually, yeah, pretty much. That's
pretty much. Really, yeah, so I think I'm going to go... Ertz actually got him a Super Bowl, so I'm going to go Zach Ertz.
All right. For KC, that's also a tough one where, you know, you have two, like, Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Or Hall of Famer, one future.
Yeah. Give me Tony Gonzalez because he actually run blocks.
Mm-hmm. So then I'll just take the leftovers there with Travis Kelce and Dallas Goedert.
Yeah. Both very solid picks, though. I feel like those are four very good tight ends that you can't go wrong on.
No, you know you can't.
O-line. You're up, CJ.
So I want to touch base on that again before I pick. So is it just like one O-lineman?
Yeah, one O-line.
All right. So the Eagles, I feel like, have more plentiful linemen to choose from. There are definitely, I think it's a toss-up. You can go with Jason Kelce or Jason Peters. It's a battle of the Jason. But I'm going to have to go with Jason Kelce. First team All-Pro 6 times. And then Kansas City. There are a few linemen that you could go with. But I'm going with Hall of Famer Willie Rofe. That's you, Chris.
Sorry, I'm...
Did I take one of yours? I'm sorry.
No. I forgot to write down your first. So for the Eagles, you said Jason Peters?
No, Jason Kelce.
Jason Kelce.
Yeah, he had like I said, he had like 6 first team All-Pros. Yeah. And okay. For KC, Hall of Famer Willie Rofe. He was nasty back in the day, I tell you.
Yeah. I'll take Jason Peters on the Eagles side.
Fair enough. Can't go wrong with either. It's a coin flip.
No. I'm going to go Will Shields. Will Shields for the for the Chiefs. Yeah, Will Shields.
Hey, understandable.
Yeah.
Now,
defensive tackle. Pass rusher.
Oh, DT. Okay, DT.
Yeah, I'm going. I had it as DT first. Sorry.
All right. Cool. All good in the metaphorical hood.
Hell yeah. You know it. Defensive tackle. The only one that really comes to mind in terms of D tackle for the Eagles is Fletcher Cox. Yeah. So I think I'm going to go Fletcher Cox in terms of D tackle. The Chiefs, I feel like, have more of a history in terms of D line, but the problem is that it's more edge rusher. But I'm going to go with an old one on the Chiefs, and I'm going to go Buck Buchanan.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Great pull.
Yes. What do you got?
So who'd you go with for Philly again?
Fletcher Cox.
All right. This is tough.
Yeah.
For Philly, because like
I feel like this is going to be the toughest
edge rushers, but
like this
they had this elite defensive tackle who was literally just on the fast track to go on a Pro Football Hall of Fame before he died. And you know what? I don't care. This is out of respect, ladies and gentlemen. But he played too short though. He played 87. He only played for 5 years though. God.
Well, what did he do in those 5 years, though? That's the thing.
He was a beast, though, I tell you. He was already a two-time Pro Bowler. He was, like, one of the best run stuffers in the league. I was thinking about defensive tackle Jerome Brown. He's a scary man. That's what I'll go with there. But, I'll circle back to that. For Kansas City, though, I'll go with another Hall of Famer. And now, look, as much as I love Chris Jones, I love Buck Buchanan. Chris, you took mine. But there's another Hall of Famer, Curly Culp. He's another Hall of Famer. And look, like I said, I love Chris Jones. No disrespect to Chris Jones. But, come on, a gold jacket trumps all. I don't know who said that, but whoever said it is probably very wise. I actually don't know. Maybe someone did say that. For Philly DT, though, that's just another one where it's just, I might have to go with Jerome Brown. Just because, like, look, I'm not going to say sympathy, but, like, that man was just a game wrecker in his 5 years in the league. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
It's not sympathy, though. That was a poor choice of words. This guy, ooh, he was scary. Anyone will tell you.
Wait, who'd you pick for the Eagles again?
Jerome Brown.
All right, give me your edge rushers.
All right, Philly. Low difficulty. Reggie White, the man himself. I say, you want to talk about people that are just scary? He's arguably the greatest Eagle of all time.
Yeah.
And Kansas City for edge rushers, Derek Thomas. Once again, another Hall of Famer, guy that just ran through defenses day in and day out. Not really hard.
I just realized I put Reggie White in the chief spot for you by accident.
Yes, Chiefs legend Reggie White. Never forget.
Chiefs legend Reggie White.
I'm going Reggie White, and I am going Derek Thomas for pass rushers. Doesn't really have to be defensive ends, you know, folks, for listening at home, just pass rushers.
Yeah. There's another edge rusher that I'm trying to think of that was in the mid 2010s.
For KC?
Yeah, I'm blanking on his name.
Is it Justin Houston, perhaps?
Justin Houston, yes. That's what I'm thinking of. I want to go Justin Houston on the edge.
Makes sense.
Eagles. The Eagles. Might be a little bit tougher here.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, but could still be a little bit tough. A lot of these we were looking through as well, because we're not,
you know, sometimes you gotta go deep in your bag, you know, that's just how it is.
Yeah. Part of me wants to go Trent Cole.
All right. That's what I was thinking.
Trent Cole. Yeah, I'm just gonna go Trent Cole.
Makes sense. He was a beast.
Yeah. Second all time in sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Did I read that right?
For Philly, I think.
Second in franchise history in sacks, yeah.
Yep.
Linebacker. Give me Norm Van Brocklin for the Eagles. I said the wrong name. Chuck Benarek for the Eagles. Van Brocklin sounds like a linebacker name, though.
It really does. But doesn't he have, like, the most passing yards in a game or something like that?
Yes, he does. He does.
Thank you, Madden. You learned me that.
Literally. It's sad that Norm Van Brocklin, at this point, is only known for some of our generation just for being at the top of passing yards in the game.
I mean, hey.
To some people, at least. My other linebacker I'm going to go with on KC, because you can put them all there. Another linebacker for KC, I'll go Bobby Bell.
Yeah, Bobby Bell, that's a pull, man. That is a pull. He was something else. But yeah, you took Bernardrick from me. Dang. He was like beast.
Still other solid guys for linebackers for the Eagles, though.
Yeah. Yeah, no. They've had a lot. They had a lot. Maxie Bond is one, but he's another one that only played for like 5 years. Because, you know, they played harder back then. I mean, no offense to the guys that play now, but yeah, no. But as for Kansas City, you know, you mentioned Bobby Bell. But they've had Derek Johnson, Cheryl Hedrick, Jim Lynch. But I'll have to go with Willie Lanier. This man, I know, he was a hard hitter. He did everything you wanted. But as for Philly, though, I'm thinking Bond, but I'm a not Zach Bond, different one. Actually, hold on, there's one escaping me. Jeremiah Trotter. Now, talk about a guy who could take your head off. Jeremiah Trotter, folks.
Jeremiah Trotter. All right, cornerbacks. Two more position groups to go.
Oh, yeah. Corners. Now, Philly isn't necessarily known, I would argue, for their corners. You know, not by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
But they've had some. You know, Troy Vincent was one. Eric Allen, of course, is one that I'm thinking of. But as a whole, once again, you could say Asante Samuel, but me, I had to stop and think, but I'm going Eric Allen. And by the way, can you give him his gold jacket already? He's criminally underrated.
Wait, you said that. Wait, sorry. Eric Allen for which one?
Corner. Eric Allen. For those of you who don't know, you gotta look into him. This man. Ooh. Scary man. Corners. The Chiefs don't really have that many. I mean, you had Marcus Peters for a bit. Albert Lewis, Jim Marsalis was good. But some people that are longer tenured, like Emmett Thomas, is one that I would consider. Now, for those of you who don't know, Emmett Thomas, he was also a coach, but yeah, number 18 in red. Ooh, what a scary guy. By the way, for safeties, right? I kid you not. 58 interceptions, and at one point had 12 in a season. Give me Emmett Thomas at corner.
For the Chiefs?
For the Chiefs. And I know they're not the sexiest names in the world, but come on.
Yeah.
They were those guys that would just put you out of your misery every game. Hard hitting, fly around the field, ball hawks, shut down one side. And that's what you want in a corner.
For my corners, I'm going to go with Mr. Pick Six himself, Asante Samuel for the Eagles. Might be a hot take, but I'm going with it. I love Asante Samuel. And for the Chiefs, I'll just go Marcus Peters for the Chiefs. Showing my recency bias, but who cares?
Careful, those 70-year-olds are going to, you know, they're going to need their blood pressure meds after this one.
Yeah, right. Safeties. Eagles, Brian Dawkins, easy. Mm-hmm. One of the hardest hitting motherfuckers of all time. The Wolverine. I love watching his edits on YouTube and TikTok. They're absolutely disgusting. There was one highlight that sticks in my memory, and it was when Michael Vick threw Algie Crumpler a hospital pass, and Brian Dawkins just stuck him. And then he, later in the game, Mike Vick tried scrambling, and Brian Dawkins laid him out at the goal line.
Yep, that's totally a flag today, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. Unfortunately.
Only if you hit, like, Mahomes or Josh Allen.
Yeah, seriously. The Chiefs, I feel like there was solid safeties for the Chiefs in the last 20 years.
They had a lot. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm like blanking on names right now, though.
I know some. Come on.
Yeah, do you?
Johnny Robinson, Kevin Ross, Darren Cherry, Gary Barbaro, Tyron Matthew, Eric Berry.
Yeah, the fucking Honey Badger. Forgot about him. He was really good. But do I want to go the Honey Badger?
Yeah, you could. He got that nickname for a reason. Takes what he wants.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'll keep it recent. I'll go Tyron Matthew.
Yeah. So for me, safeties. Eagles, as much as I don't like him for his dirty hit on Brandon Cooks, come on, Malcolm Jenkins was that guy when he played.
Malcolm Jenkins. He got a ring. Can't forget about him.
Yeah, and for safeties, give me Eric Berry for Kansas City.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. He was another one where he was, like, criminally underrated, but yeah, Eric Berry. And I don't care if I'm showing my recency bias. Grab your heart meds, old heads.
That'll do it for our drafts. This is a good one. Just go down the list. CJ has, for the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, Priest Holmes, Otis Taylor, Travis Kelce, Willie Rofe, Curly Culp, Derek Thomas, Willie Lanier, Emmett Thomas, and Eric Berry. For me, Len Dawson, Jamal Charles, Tyreek Hill, Tony Gonzalez, Will Shields, Buck Buchanan, Justin Houston, Bobby Bell, Marcus Peters, Tyron Matthew.
Wait, hold on. I don't have Marcus Peters. Or is that you?
No, I said
I. You mentioned you too. Sorry, I phased.
But you're good. CJ for the Eagles, McNabb, LeSean McCoy, T.O., Dallas Goedert, Jason Kelce, Jerome Brown, Derek Thomas, Jeremiah Trotter, Eric Allen, and Malcolm Jenkins. For me, on the Eagles side, Randall Cunningham, Saquon, Deshaun Jackson, Zach Ertz, Jason Peters, Fletcher Cox, Trent Cole, Chuck Benarek, Asante Samuel, and Brian Dawkins. I feel like a lot of people are going to be like, Asante Samuel, what the fuck? But he was a dog. He was a dog back then.
He really was. Now he just mostly complains about Bill Belichick.
Yeah. But yeah, that is our all-time draft for the Eagles and Chiefs. That was good. I liked that a lot.
Oh, you know, I enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
It really was.
But yeah, that's all we have for scheduled content here today. CJ, you got anything else you want to add?
No, I just want to say in NBA news, thank God for the Luka trade, because now nobody's paying attention to Justin Tucker.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's true.
Seriously. Oh man, they must have freaking hated him at Dallas. I tell you. How do you only get one first round pick, and it's a pick you're not going to see for fucking 4 years?
That's literally just how the NBA works, man. It's literally like all future picks. How do you think the Thunder got so good?
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, is that if you wanted picks, you could have just shopped around and went to the Thunder or the Spurs or the Rockets or a team that has a shit ton of picks that they can, like, that's kind of the problem with the Thunder right now, is that they have a ton of picks. And it's like, all right, what are you actually going to do with these picks, though? Like, you already have a great team. Go get yourself go trade for a fucking superstar. Like, this is not an NBA show.
It's really not.
No. But that'll do it for us. Sorry.
I had to make a joke at Justin Tucker's expense. Not the kicker, Justin Tucker, not our.
Of course. Well, maybe we are talking about our Justin Tucker.
Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. Go on.
That'll do it for us tonight. We thank you for listening. New episode coming out on Friday at 5:30. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRisky_podcast. Keep up with the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. And definitely be sure to tune in on Friday, as we'll have our Super Bowl preview along with our food draft. That'll be fun.
And if Adam says no, we're going to curse him out.
Yeah, we're going to. Yeah, we'll curse him out. Kick him out of the clan. But we'll see you on Tuesday, over and out. Or we'll see you on Friday, over and out.